Do you think the world is getting better or worse? Unsurprisingly, a huge majority of people today believe the world is getting worse. Maybe this global pessimism is the result of a culture bathed in bad news, or maybe we inherently know the earth-shaking truth presented at the heart of this book. Something is deeply wrong with our planet, and we are powerless to fix it. The great controversy not only unveils the origin of human degradation, but also discloses the titanic struggle raging below the din of pandemics and peril, corruption and carnage, murder and mayhem. In this astonishing work, you will discover that evil has a face, good has a champion, and sin has an end. If you want to prepare for the end of this world and the glorious world to come, you must read this book. Join the campaign to distribute millions of copies of The Great Controversy by Ellen G. White to people in and around your communities. Contact your local church for more information or text us at +27 73 470 3520. Adventist World Radio, SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
All right, welcome back, and thank you very much for tuning in. You're listening to Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. My name is Nayelu Pondona. We are back together again until 3 o'clock. It's 11 minutes now after 1. Time for us to get into our study of what we have been intending to get an understanding of. The idea of the scriptures really is something that we ought not to take lightly, but we ought to appreciate and understand. And for any believer that claims to be worth his or her salt really needs to understand this. So we're still talking about the Word of God, the Bible versus culture. Now, when you look at that battle, who in your view is winning that one? Sexuality, gender, identity, power, money, culture, all of these, they shout one thing. The Bible often whispers another. Totally different to all these things, that sexuality, gender, identity, power, money, culture, and so forth. The Bible seems to be pointing in a different direction. But is the church losing ground because it's clinging to Scripture? Or because it's not clinging tightly enough? When biblical values collide with societal norms, who bends? Or better yet, who should bend? Joining us now is Pastor Stanley Chilembo to help us understand this a bit more. Mfundisi, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon. Thank you.
Has the church watered down the Bible to stay relevant, or is that necessary for survival?
Yeah, this is an interesting topic, and one discussion that we really need to dive into. The answer that I'll give is yes and no at the same time. There are some churches that have watered down biblical truth in an attempt to remain palatable and appealing to modern society. So these people, you know, they avoid preaching or teaching on controversial topics such as sin, judgment, repentance, sexual immorality, and things that we can talk about like issues of gender. They try to avoid these topics, and as a result, they are trying to water down. They have just become, you know, they have reduced the message of God to self-help, motivational talks. They focus on prosperity centered sermons instead of something that brings transformation. But the thing is that if you are to look at the Word of God, the Word of God must not be watered, and it should remain the way it is. So while others are trying to water down biblical teachings or the Bible, God tells us, believers, that we are the salt of the world. And if we do not You know, if we do not do the work that God has given to us, we lose that flavor. What are some of the dangers of watering the message or the Bible? The issue is that when you are teaching the Bible or you are teaching the messages of the Bible, it's about authority. Who speaks through this word? And we know that it is God. The word, the Bible is the word of God. The one who speaks to us is not the preacher like Stanley Chilembo, but God himself who wants to speak to his people. So there's a danger if you water the word of God, you are actually removing the authority of God over that soul and placing yourself. Number two is that the work of the Holy Spirit may not be realized by people who are listening to the word of God, because scriptures were authored by the Spirit of God and is the one who instructs us even to teach right things. So while certain people are watering the word of God, God is calling upon us to stand firm and speak the truth the way it is in the Bible.
So is it necessary for the church to water things down in order to survive?
When we say the issue of watering the word of God, it is not necessary. The issue is that the word of God, God has given us this word as I'll give an illustration of a compass. God has given us the word as a moral compass. While culture and, you know, things may be changing in our society, the word of God remains the same. So we don't need to shift the word of God. It's not necessary to teach otherwise, but we must remain and stick to the truth the way it is. Paul, in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 2, he says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. We are called upon not to alter, not to change anything, but to present the truth the way it is. When you see people reacting, it's a sign that there is something that must be changed in those people's lives.
Yesterday, we had a very interesting conversation, you and I, Mfundisi. It appeared as though there are some parts that are uncomfortable to tackle when we were talking yesterday. And I believe perhaps this question that I'm about to ask you speaks to exactly that. Are there parts of the Bible modern Christians today are too afraid to preach?
Yes. You know, there are so many passages of the Bible where preachers are afraid to preach. Especially things that, you know, there are people who really want favor or they want to be famous. And because they want to be famous, there are certain topics they will avoid teaching. I'm going to be very categorical on this one. And one thing that I'm going to mention, let's talk about biblical marriage. God created male and female and joined them. But today you find people who say, no, you know, as long as you love the person that you want to marry, it's okay. But that is not biblical. So the Bible is very clear on how these things must be taught. Those people who have desires to marry their fellow men, to marry their fellow women, must be educated using the principles in the Bible. Let's talk about those in transgender. People are not satisfied the way they were born. They were born male, but they want to be female. They were born female, but they want to be male. And they want to do this exchange. They need, you know, the Bible is there to help us to say, this is what the Lord of the Lord says. Because it is a moral compass. It is the will that God wants us to learn. So there are certain parts of the Bible that certain preachers or churches are afraid of speaking because they may not receive, you know, those sponsorship which they are receiving, or they may lose certain people, because when you are speaking, let's say you are speaking about judgment and hell, certain people don't want to hear those things, may end up, they stop coming to you because you are not speaking what they want.
So how do we balance out these things that people desire? Because many of these churches preach love and grace and very little about the truth of the wrongs that people do. Quite frankly, the moment preachers start preaching what you just spoke about, they get canceled. There's this cancel culture now that Pastor so-and-so is no longer to be listened to. He's no longer a pastor. We're not going to give him any attention. And so they stop. So we need perhaps a balancing scale there. And that's why I'm asking the question, how do we balance grace and truth in this world full of the fear of cancel culture?
Yeah, so one thing that I should say here is that there is this cancel culture which is growing in the world. People will enable you to say, don't listen to this man of God because of what he preaches. My advice, or one thing that we need to do as believers, is that we need to be firm in proclaiming the message of salvation and truth. As we do this, there is need that we must speak the truth with humility. We must, while respecting people, we must always teach them the truth to say, okay, the truth is like this. This is what God wants us to follow. The other thing is that as we speak to sinners, we must speak with love, loving sinners without endorsing sin. We need, our work is to speak to a people who are living in sin. But as we talk about people moving from sin, we are not endorsing sin, but we must call people out of sins. I'll give you a reference to the book of John chapter 8, where Jesus is there. They bring a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, and then they talk about stoning her. He says, if anyone has not sinned, let him be the first one. You know that story. But
yes,
the end of this story is that when everyone had left that woman, it was Jesus and that woman. This woman must be stoned to death. And she is standing before Jesus. Jesus asked her a question. Where are those people who accused you? There was no one because they had all left. What did Jesus say? He said, go and sin no more. So when we talk about balancing between grace and truth, we must always remember that God has given us a duty to love sinners without endorsing sin.
Yeah.
We must always help sinners to come out of their sin problems.
Right.
And the way, the method that we use to do this is also very, very important.
Right.
While standing firm on the truth, we must not be combative, because when we become combative, humans, have a tendency of reacting in a defensive manner. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, you lose an opportunity to win a soul that God has given, given you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's conclude our conversation, Mfundisi. And perhaps we should talk about the idea of scripture and, can scripture, the idea of scripture itself now, can scripture evolve with culture? Or should it never change?
Okay. So the scriptures should never change. And the scriptures do not change, because the author himself, God, does not change.
Okay.
And his word has remained the same. Isaiah 40, verse 8 tells us, grass withers, flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever.
Mm.
God is the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. So the word that God has given to us does not change. While it is true that culture may change, and things that surround us may change, scriptures do not change. Why? Because, as I say, the scriptures are like a moral compass. guiding us in the path that we are to take.
Yeah.
So scriptures should not change. Yes, methods of giving the message may change,
okay,
but the message itself does not change.
Okay.
The mode of delivery may change. Like you see, very old, some years back, if you talk about the time of Paul, Paul had to go in the missionary journeys.
Hmm.
Three missionary journeys are recorded in the book, in the New Testament, which Paul engaged himself to. Today, we may have those privileges of traveling, but we can also use other methods to deliver the message. And what methods? Today we use media.
Right.
Look at the platform that we are using today.
Right.
I'm speaking from Lusaka. You are in Johannesburg.
Yeah.
So the mode may change, but the message is timeless.
Right.
So scriptures cannot change and it will stand the way it is.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so we are in Pretoria in Irene, but I get your point loud and clear. Is compromise the enemy of conviction then, Pastor?
Yeah, when we talk about compromise, can compromise be an enemy of conviction? When it means sacrificing biblical truth for comfort, popularity, or peace, the answer I'm going to give is yes. If you are to stand by integrity, you don't need to compromise. Some people compromise because they want popularity, they want peace, they want comfort. And for that reason, they'll say, I don't want to be found to be caught into this problem. So the only thing they'll do is just to compromise. I'll take you to the time of Daniel. Daniel could have compromised by eating the king's food, but he resolved in his heart to stay faithful, even when he knew that by rejecting the king's offer, it's like you are insulting the king himself, because that's the very food that the king is eating. And he says, I don't want to defile myself. So it is an indication that he was actually pointing that these things are corrupting people's minds. By just that position, he could have been killed. But Daniel stood firm. The three Hebrew boys, his companions, they never bowed to the statue which was elected in Dura. They stood firm. Why? Because they decided to honor God. So compromise is something that we must avoid. Let us stand by the word of God the way it is. I like one writer who says, it is better to stand by the sentence of scripture than join thousands arguments that people are making. So in our conscience, let us stand by the truth, because the truth will help us to find the way out of our problems. One of my favorite authors says, do what is right because it is right and leave the consequences with God. Many people compromise because they know to say, how will I survive if people move me out of the stage? If people put me in prison, if they arrest me, how will I survive? Do not worry about all those things. Worry about what God says. Stand on the truth and you will save the world.
Okay. All right. I take it. Thank you very much for your time, Pastor Stanley Chilembo. It's an honor to listen to you explain these things. Looking forward to your conversation again tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Bertha.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.